Genesis 15 and verse 6, but by no means the only place. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Sometimes the word counted is translated imputed. You can think of computer working things out. But he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him, or he imputed it to him for righteousness. It's one of the greatest doctrines in the church, imputed righteousness. Now, doesn't that sound hard? But it isn't. It's the most exciting thing in all the world, because it means that God sees that one act of Abraham, and because of the value of that one act which the Lord has called him to, he forgives every other sin of all time. And that's our theme. Every other sin. Now we know, even before this, Abraham had sinned. But the Lord had a special purpose that he should be the father of all nations in Abraham. And it was crucial that he should believe it. Now, actually, I think he came to the Lord rather grumpily. We are able to pour out our complaints to the Lord. And the Lord brought the word from heaven to his heart. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham was grumpy. Doesn't look like it, does it? He says, my shield, my exceeding great reward, and I had no children. And the heir of this house of mine, the 376 and more, the heir of this is my steward, Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You talk of being my shield. You talk of being my exceeding great reward. I don't see it. So he was grumpy. But that didn't stop the magnitude of what follows. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Oh, he would have children. But then, don't think England, think the Far East. God brought Abram out under the stars. And they twinkle, and there are so much more to be seen there than here. But those with telescopes can see even more. And he brought Abraham forth outside the tent and said, look, look at the stars. Can you count them? Well, no. The family that is descended from you will be like the number of the stars. So when we're low like Abraham, when we pour out our complaints to God, when we're miserable, God is ready with his promise. It makes us ashamed that we ever were so miserable. So shall thy seed be, like the number of stars in the sky. You've given me no heir. Why should I think of you as my shield and my reward? So shall thy seed be as the number of stars in the sky. Abraham, in that instant, was transformed. In that instant, he believed. All of his grousings were gone. All of his objections were gone. And in that moment of the Lord's speech, who had already said to him that I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward, in that moment of his speech, count the number of the stars, if you can, so shall the number of your children be. In that instant, he believed it. But that wasn't the end of the transaction. He, that is the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Now we're sinners. It's not our works that save us. We may do good works if we're Christians to please the Lord and to walk in the things that he's planned for us. But we do not do good works to hope that the Lord will bear them in mind when he saves us. Salvation is all of grace, all of mercy, all of God's word. This and that one have I chosen. And in that moment, Abraham believed. And the Lord counted it to him. He put it to his account. This particular matter was not already in his account. He didn't have that account. The Lord imputed it to him, counted it to him for righteousness. Now, the only righteousness which we can have is that which is given by God. It can be considered as a synonym of perfection, not when applied to man, but the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, can be considered as perfection. And God counts righteousness to Abraham. He is saved by imputed righteousness. Not when he was a Jew, for circumcision was a seal of that righteousness by for the faith that he'd recognized. And circumcision followed. That's all Paul's argument. He was like all of us, Gentiles, when he believed and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now that's the first occasion that it occurred. There is an occasion when that occurs also in the Phineas, but we pass over that. We're thinking of imputed righteousness, counted to us by God. What is our righteousness? What counts more than everything else put together? What takes away our sin? So in Romans chapter 4, then Paul begins his argument. Talking of Abraham, he says, now, what was his experience? If Abraham were justified by works, all right, let him glory in them. But don't let him think that that's important in the sight of God. Let him be governed by Scripture. What says the Scripture? The Scripture says Abraham believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. There was one thing so special that because he believed that, God counted it to him for righteousness. It overtook all the other sins he'd ever committed before. He had righteousness. The righteousness which comes of Christ, for believing that particular thing, all his other sins were banished. Righteousness was imputed to him. Now, in chapter 4 of Romans, Paul spells this out, but he spells it out for a reason, because imputed righteousness is what God does to us. For believing in Christ, every other sin which we've ever done is blotted out. And the Lord counts that to us for righteousness. Well, we'll come to that. But grasp the first bit fully, and you won't have any difficulty grasping that it's because we believe in Christ that God counts us as righteous in him. So Abraham believed God, faith, put faith in what God said and what he said at this particular juncture of his life. And those who put faith in what the gospel, God's word, teaches also shall have his righteousness counted to them. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That is to say, they're tattered and they're dirty. They don't cover. They're just like urchins in the street. But the righteousness of Christ is perfect. And it brings the Lord's approval. So Paul continues his argument at Romans 4 and verse 5. If a man does his work, he expects to be paid. It's not a gift. But if a man believes, rather than trying to work his way into heaven, the reward will not be right wages, but the reward will be a gift. And that faith is counted for righteousness. So we don't earn salvation. We can't earn salvation. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which thousands don't bother with. The Lord imputes righteousness to the one who exercises that faith. Paul goes on to say that David knew that. And he quotes Psalm 32. Even as David, this is Romans 4 verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessed of the man, blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. David knew this. His sins had been forgiven. He didn't deserve that they should. All the work that he'd done put together, all his shepherding and all his being a king put together, would not have gained his entrance into heaven. But he knew about iniquities forgiven. And he wrote in Psalm 32, a proof of imputed righteousness. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, can't impute righteousness if there are works. Even as David describeth the blessed of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Do you know that blessing? Do you know that your iniquities are forgiven? Do you know your sins are covered by the blood of the Christ? It is a blessing. It's a blessing in which the Lord is interested. And he imputes Christ's perfection to one whose sins are covered. So if we're a sinner, if the weight of sin is upon us, then blessed is the man to whom the Lord counts not sin, but covers that sin by the blood of this Christ, of Christ. And so in Romans 4, Paul goes on, just giving other examples of the system in which it works. It's without works, and it's faith. And it was that Abraham was the faith of the father of many nations, and he believed it instantly, and God counted it to him for righteousness. All his other sins vanished because of this. So at the end of Romans 4, verses 21, Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. What about us? Now, the last verses of Romans 4. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for us also. Abraham believed Christ, believed God, his word, wasted no time about it, speaking about the impossible, the number of children he would have when he had none. Believed it instantly. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's own dear son that comes out in the story of Abraham and Isaac, almost being offered for sacrifice. But the Lord Jesus, who is to be sacrificed on Calvary, is God's own dear son. And God the Father sent him, and he willingly came into the world for sin, as being sinless, to take away sin. Nothing more beautiful could be thought of. Nothing more wonderful could be dreamt of by God or man. The Lord Jesus, all the things that made him who he was, perfectly man, perfectly God in one body, fully God, fully man. All this was done to take away sin. And it is precious to the Lord that there are those who believe it. And for that, he will pardon all other sins. Now, it's done because the Lord Jesus Christ bore in his own body on the tree the penalty of the sin which we have committed, as in Abraham's case. But when we hear the gospel proclaimed, when we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ forgives sins and gives eternal life, when we hear that the Lord Jesus' gospel, he's the only one in all the world in whom these things are found, when we believe that, the Lord counts that to us for righteousness. It is precious in his sight. It involves his only begotten son. It involves his only begotten son doing what he came to do, to take away sin. And when somebody believes it, when somebody values what he was sent to do, when somebody feels the weight of their sin, desperately turns to the Saviour and says, I believe, the Lord counts that to him for righteousness. Every sin has gone from every penal act set free. Being fully persuaded, Abraham, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. It was therefore imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Why is imputed righteousness written about in the scriptures? It was not for his sake alone, but for us also. We can enter where Abraham entered. It will be imputed to us if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe that the Father raised up the Lord, but sometimes the scripture speaks of Christ raising himself. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe in the resurrection. If you believe the one who's blotted out our sins is alive and will give eternal life to them, believe. He was delivered to death for our offences, and he was raised again for our justification, so that we might be called not guilty. The Lord counts that as righteousness. He blots out every other sin, hundreds and thousands of sins. He will not count. He will not remember. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We are covered with the perfection of Christ. The pure robes of Christ is the picture. We are covered with him, and his righteousness is imputed to those who believe in him, fully knowing that they're sinners, fully confessing their sins, calling out to him, crying out to him, believing that he is the only saviour of the world and that he will save them. The Lord loves that. The Lord counts that, puts it to our account, puts it to our account for eternal righteousness. I put it in a silly way, but you won't mind. What does God love most? When men and women whom he has chosen, mind you, when men and women turn in faith to his Son, repenting of their sins, that they may be covered and forgiven forever. This is what he loves above everything else. He counts it to the man or the woman or the boy and the girl who believes in the Lord Jesus and enters into salvation through forgiveness of sins through Christ. It's a wonderful doctrine. Sounds hard, imputed righteousness, but it means that every sin that we've ever done is blotted out because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and that is wonderful. Amen.